Oh, yes. We are here again. We are always going to be here. Doesn't matter what happens. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn and Joe. Whoa, 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 woo, woo. Hey, everybody. My name is Joe Carabe. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, writer, sometimes a musician. But today I am a podcaster. And across from me is one of the greatest gems on this planet Earth. Her name is Karen Bolesky. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing good. I'm going to Cesaro swing everybody.
That's right. Swiss Superman. Trying to stick with these wrestling themes. I don't know how long we've been going for.
That's
it's going for a while.
Like, how long have we been doing this?
We've been doing for a while.
3 months at least.
Several months. Just hitting them where it hurts, man.
I mean, if you think about it, we could probably at least spend probably like the next 2 years doing entrances, even from past superstars.
I mean, there's a lot of people that we haven't used yet. I don't even know why.
Is that a mission for you? Is just to start each show with a WWE superstar theme?
I thought that'd just be fun.
Because it started like for fun for a few of them, but then it just kept going.
For fun. Now it's like not fun anymore.
But it's still fun. But now I'm like, is that a part of the show? Is that like a theme?
I mean, after a while, it's easier just to do that, just to go through them. I mean, sooner or later, I'm going to run out, right?
Yeah, but you can always go back on the previous generations. They don't have to be current. Or you can use like different variations of music. For example, like CM Punk had like 3 different songs.
That's true. That's very true.
Maybe more. I don't know. I know he at least had like 3, right?
I think
twinkling one.
But see, we use them. I try not to repeat.
Yeah.
I try not to repeat songs as much or at all, really. That's like the real challenge, is to not repeat. And sometimes I forget if we've already used, like, when I was rolling with the Divas themes, like, I wanted to use, I still don't even know if I've used Becky Lynch's theme or not, or
I don't know.
But sometimes, yeah, I know we use Bayley, I know we use Sasha Banks, but sometimes I just forget.
Have we used With Legs Like That, Maria?
No, we haven't used that yet.
I think that one should come up.
I kept it a little current. I kept a little current at the beginning.
I know, but you gotta do some retro.
It's funny because that used to be Stacey Keebler's theme too.
They just switched them over. They just used it for another chick later.
Yeah.
She has legs too.
I'd like to think that I remember when
they both have legs.
Because you know when Kevin Owens, he has the KO, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like there's also when Cassius Ohno was in NXT and he didn't get called up or he decided to leave, or whatever happened. He was also the KO, and he was known for the roaring elbow,
oh,
which is, you know, for people who know him, he's Chris Hero. But in NXT, he was Cassius Ohno.
Well,
so also, it's like, are they just rebranding? Is that what's happening?
Know,
it'd be smart
to. If it's an idea, it's an idea. But, you know, speaking of wrestling, 2 episodes ago, we did a live podcast at DC Podfest. For those of you that haven't got a chance to listen to that,
yeah,
go back in the archives just a couple episodes ago. And we did interview Ellis Emba, who is known as Shocked Undertaker Guy. And not only that, just recently there's the Ronda Rousey fight, and Ronda Rousey lost, and everyone was shocked. And, of course, Ellis's face is going around the world again.
CBS uses face, man.
CBS Sports.
That's right.
Official accounts of their social media was using that. And not only them, but, like, so many people were showing his images again. So I just wanted to call that out and make sure everybody listens to him. Because, you know what? He's more than Shocked Undertaker Guy. He's a man. He does a lot.
He's more than a face.
I think it's good to know that he is more than a face.
So what's the news?
The news. Oh, wow. Well, Curl's Studio has wrapped up everything for the year. I do want to do a couple more things. Like, for example, I just posted on the blog about something I did, like, way back in the spring that I totally didn't promote. But I think people should know. But yeah, that item was Rise Comics Against Bullying. I had a story published in there. It was actually written by Amber Love, and I illustrated it. So you can check the blog to see some images from that book and get some insight on that. And, you know, also to overlap, this week is apparently National Bullying Awareness Week. So it's always good to promote that.
Is it really?
It is really that. So, you know, I did miss promoting that in the spring. I kind of did a little bit if you paid attention.
Every week should be anti-bullying.
But I guess it's the awareness of it.
But then again, bullying sometimes is meant to happen.
Yeah.
It's tough, but, man.
So, it's, you know, we're wrapping down the end of the year in a few weeks, or actually next week, I guess, is Thanksgiving. Can you believe that Thanksgiving is a week from today? I can't even believe it.
If you're going to believe in something, believe that it's coming up next week.
Believe that you're going to be eating some turkey, some tofurkey.
2 episodes from now.
Yes. And so it's the world is swinging right by us, and so we don't have any official tour dates coming up until next spring, and I'm really excited about that. So news-wise for Curl Studio, just keep looking at the blog, because there's going to be some stuff that I'll post, like the year-end recap, and also there's some stuff that I missed throughout the year, so I'm just going to catch up on some of my work that I've been doing this year that hasn't been posted yet. And that's exciting. But also, since it's my news segment, I wanted to bring this up, and maybe we can weed this in from the news segment to the actual show, because something, like, really interesting happened recently that... It kind of just blew my mind. Not like I wouldn't expect it to not happen, but for me it was like a big deal, because let me set this up. So there's this country musician named Brian White, and I've been a fan of his since I was very young, like elementary school. I can't remember what exact age, but basically when he came on the scene, which is like early 90s, I'm guessing. I don't even remember these dates, 94-ish. 96 seems to be a big year in my head, but so basically a long time ago, and you know, to me he just had a really great voice. He was kind of set up to be like a heartthrob. He was young. I think, you know, he got his record deal like straight. He basically drove from Oklahoma to Nashville in a Plymouth Horizon and like $500. And he's like, hey, I'm gonna make it in Nashville. And didn't know anybody, young kid. And I don't think he was there very long. He got a record deal. And they basically put him up as this face of, like, so-called teen country. They used to have a magazine called Teen Country. And it was, now looking back on it, it was kind of like bop or some type of, like, teen beat issue. But he would always be in it. And he did a tour with Leanne Rimes back when... I think everyone does remember Leanne Rimes. Like, she did reach a mainstream level. What do you think about that, Joe? Do you remember Leanne Rimes?
I do.
Do you... Like, because she reached, like, a mainstream
level. Because
she
did that cover, right?
Which one?
How Do I Live, or...
Yes. With Nick Cage.
Yeah.
I never saw Con Air, but I know... I saw the music video. But also, she did the cover of the Trisha Yearwood song for
Which
How
one? Which one was that?
It goes, How Do I Live?
Oh, it's a cover of a cover?
Yeah, I think she did a cover of the Trisha Yearwood.
It's always amazing with country music how, like, you know, like with rock and stuff like that, you don't get really as big with covers, but like in country, they do a lot of. It's something
really,
that they do, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that they do, but it's not that abundant, really, I don't think.
Abundance!
But yeah, so Leanne Rimes, and also she had that breakthrough hit Blue. When she was very young, she was still a teenager, and everyone was saying she's the next Patsy Cline. And anyway, so Leanne Rimes did have a huge career, and I feel like Brian White still stayed within the country realms. I don't think he like broke through to mainstream, like in terms of like everyone knows who they are. Like I feel like Leanne Rimes, like everyone knows.
So he didn't have that crossover hit.
I don't
hit.
Think he had a crossover hit, but he did work with Shania Twain from this moment on. A lot of people remember that as a duet, but then the pop radio only had Shania, and they took out the Brian White duet part, which I was upset about, but, you know, what are you going to do? I'm a Brian White fan. But yeah, so I feel like he did have some crossover success with his combination work. He toured with Leanne Rimes, and he sang with Shania. So, of course, those are some two major hit makers that everyone knows. So he did have some, and he also, Brian White also did tour with Vince Gill.
Yeah.
So, you know, he did have, like, a good career back then. But, you know, he lost his record deal, and, you know, honestly, not much has been happening with him recently. He did a Kickstarter a couple years ago to record his own new CD, or I shouldn't call it CD, record, new album. And, you know, he has been active on social media recently, and his wife is an actress, and she was on, I believe it was One Life to Live, and she's been dabbling in a few other things. So, you know, they're pretty busy, and also on top of that, they have two young sons. So it seems like he's been spending most of his energy being a dad recently. Yeah. But a lot of people know him as like country music from the 90s.
Yeah.
So what happened with Brian White recently that was like the this is the news that blew my mind is that apparently I was on Twitter and I just start seeing this flood of like tweets and retweets from him and from other people to him. And it's like basically blowing up. And apparently in the Philippines, this one country, he has like a top hit now, and this song called God Gave Me You, hashtag GGMY.
What? Is that really the hashtag?
Yes. Apparently, what's going on in the Philippines is that there is some type of soap opera. I don't know exactly what it is, but I think it's called like Al Dub, which I'm probably mispronouncing.
Al Dub?
Yeah.
It's I mean, like, I'm Filipino.
A-L-D-U-B. I don't know what that means.
Al Dub?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it stands
for something. Is that two words or one word?
I don't know. Or maybe it's one word that like the A is cap and then like the Al-Dub? D is cap, but it's like all in one. I don't know. I actually don't know. Well, anyway, so this thing is blowing up and I'm like, what the heck is this? And so I did a little research. And first of all, also I backtracked because like looking at Brian White's tweets, like he was trying to figure out what was going on too. Because he's like, what is this?
He's like, I didn't do anything.
Like, he was basically like, is this a wedding? Like, I think he thought that somebody...
Is this a wedding?
I think he thought that somebody wanted him to sing at their wedding.
That's great.
But anyway, so what it turns
Get
out...
Get that work, man. Get that
yeah,
work.
What it turns out, I guess, from what I understand, which I don't, you know, watch the soap opera, so I don't know. But from what I barely understand, it's that there's, like, I think a real-life couple from a show.
Yeah.
And that's, like, their song is God Gave Me You, and they're, like, they love it. And, like, apparently, like... All these videos.
Wait,
are,
so like they, so the soap opera show. There's a couple, a real couple. That,
I believe
that,
they're
that
real.
In,
I don't.
That act in the show.
I think so.
But in the show, that's their theme song. That's
I
the song
so.
They love.
I think so.
And Brian White doesn't know that his song was being licensed to the
well,
pirated
I don't know,
through the Philippines.
I don't know. Well, first of all, A, I don't know if it was being actually used on the show, or B, I don't
they
know
love
if somebody made a fan video.
They love
it.
Their pirated stuff,
they,
man.
They sure do. So first of all, I don't know about the pirate, like copyright. Scenario. I don't know if it was on the air. I don't know about that. But I do know that there's a whole bunch of fan videos now that have God Gave Me You with those two actors, and then also just the lyric videos that people make on YouTube with like sunset and like a couple walking around. Like
Filipino love. Filipinos love that.
They love that karaoke.
They love that karaoke, and they also love that just dramatic drama relationship. All that stuff,
see,
man. They love
those
things.
That's when I was like, then I took a step. Oh, okay. And here's the news on top of it. First of all, this song came out in 1999. So if you think about it, this song is like 16 years old. That's like, to me, it feels like that happened just yesterday because like I'm a fan and I've been listening to his music for a while.
Which is the greatest thing about when you make something.
It lives forever.
It lives forever. Like it may not be hot then, but people can discover it later. Or any time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and so what is crazy about it is that now, like, so then I'm, like, searching. I'm like, what is going on with him? It's, like basically...
Was this all in the span of one day, or was it just, like,
I mean,
slow
I don't
build?
Know. It was, like, it felt like it was, like, within a few days. And then also, you know how on Twitter you can see who favorited or who retweeted?
Yeah.
It was, like, thousands of retweets. It wasn't just, like, 100 or something, which is still a lot. But it was, like, something like 17,000, 20,000, like... And I'm like, what? Oh, my God. That's, like, a major... That's major, in my opinion.
It's a major award.
And it's a major award. And so I was like, dang, what is going on with him? And, like, of course, he was trying to figure out... which
here
I thought,
he is just chilling on his yacht.
I don't think he's on his yacht. I mean,
chilling
I,
on his ranch?
I don't know.
On his porch? Chilling
I mean,
on his porch?
Let's say on
the kitchen?
I don't think he...
Baby's
I think
room?
I think he's, like, doing okay, but I don't think he's, like, yacht level.
Well, I don't know how big of a yacht level that
I mean,
really is. So I don't know what yacht level actually is.
I know, but yeah, I don't imagine him, like, chilling on a yacht. But
So, darling.
I mean, you have to keep in mind he's from Oklahoma, so...
So he's, not, he's what, on a cow?
I don't know. He might
what
be.
What do they do in Oklahoma?
I don't know, man. Oklahoma? Apparently, him and Vince Gill came from Oklahoma, so there's got to be something good going on there. But, yeah, like, it's just, I don't know. Anyway, so what is amazing, it's like he's trying to figure out, I'm trying to figure out, all this stuff is busting out. And so apparently now, being smart with all this, they have announced that Brian White is doing a show in Manila, Philippines on December 1st.
Got to capitalize on that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, they wanted it, though. Like, the fans are like, when are you coming to the Philippines? When are you coming, Brian? And then, like, and then also, the more I think about this, I step back and I'm like, damn, this totally makes sense. Because first of all, The Filipinos are all big on religion. The song is called God Gave Me You.
So they're also big, like the country and all that.
Yeah,
they're
they
big
are.
On religion
but
stuff
like,
too.
Yeah, so like, of course, first of all, you got the God thing. Second of all, it's a ballad and it's all like
which
nice.
Makes me wonder why country music is not as big as it should be in the Philippines. Because
exactly.
Like, I feel like it's a thing that
it should
talk
be
about
huge.
The same thing, but they... I don't know. They always love the like the slow like
slow melodramatic
ballads,
drama.
And yet they,
it's like dripping with love.
But that's what they have from all the the slow ballads and country music I've seen. So I feel like they should.
I know.
It.
I feel like this is untapped market.
You should start. Yeah.
Is that the Philippines should like love country
maybe
music.
Maybe they just can't comprehend.
Especially the ballads.
They can't comprehend that they're like it needs to be like Celine Dion style as opposed to like country.
Because I will say that this God Gave Me You
They love
song,
that pop, man. They love that pop.
It is like a Celine Dion Titanic level song.
Oh, that's why.
And like his other songs aren't maybe like that, but this one in particular is.
So what's he
going to... Because he has some variation.
So he's going to go over there and play one song?
I think...
And then
I
no
think,
one else is
like,
going to know the rest of the songs?
Yeah, probably that is probably what's going to happen. And then
they're
probably
going
to be like, play
up.
It again. Like yeah. he'll probably have to play it like 10 times in a row.
Is he just going to play one concert?
I believe so. I'm
is it
going to
be
really
pretty big venue for
yeah,
him?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know exactly.
Like at the local mall or something?
I don't know where
Mega
it is.
Mall? It's going to be Mega Mall?
All I know is that it's December 1st, and if you're in the Philippines or can be in the Philippines on December 1st, you should try to go.
Filipinos, they're a passionate bunch.
Yeah,
they love something. They
exactly.
love it.
Exactly. No, like they, Joe, they seriously love this song. And like, I just can't believe, like, and also, of course, they love karaoke. There's like karaoke God Gave Me You. And it's in like their, like last I checked, it was
how does
like,
the song go anyway?
It's just very slow.
It's like, just very
it's
slow.
It's like, God gave me you. Like, it's like that. Like
God gave me you. I don't know how
like,
the song
I
goes.
Don't, I mean, I'm not like really like the best at singing that song, but like, it's like a slow ballad. And
how does it go?
I just sang it.
Why is it such, that's it?
There's more, but I don't want to like really sing it. It's not like my venue to sing it.
Well, the people need to know how it goes, right?
And they can look it up.
They can look it up. They're not going to look it up, though. People are not going to look it up unless
can you play it
unless
on
they're
your
unless
laptop?
They're. I don't have internet on this, but
oh, okay.
Unless they have. Remember that we had a rule: no internet during the
I
podcast.
I know, but you know, if you really need to hear it,
you have your phone, right?
You want me to play it over
there? No, I just want. We got to learn this song.
Oh,
see how it goes.
Okay, well, let me look it up. I don't have much. Battery left, but I can't.
That's what they all say. Remember that in Trainwreck? You're like, oops, out of battery.
I, no, seriously, look at it. It's like in the
oops,
red.
Oops, out of battery. Battery ran out. If ever you want to get out of a situation, oops, ran out of battery. Sorry, went to the bathroom.
Okay. So, oops.
Sorry, went to the bathroom.
So let me play it over my...
Out of battery.
Is this going to be good condition to like play it over here?
Sure, just put it up against the mic.
Okay, everybody, listen.
Play the jams. Let's see what this big news.
I
the
hope
big
there's not like an ad before this.
Well, preview it first.
Okay.
If there's gonna be a, is that
oh,
it?
Here it is. Here it is. It's gonna make me laugh.
This is very close to 98 degrees.
Oh yeah, it is.
That's definitely a panty melter. That
it
is a panty melter. Girls' underwears are just dropping if they're wearing them. They're just sliding off now. Moist slidings of the underwear.
Well, let's get to like the actual heart of the song in a couple seconds.
Can't even remember this verse.
Here we go.
If you take away that the steel, the pedal steel in the back, that's 98 degrees, man.
Pretty much.
Isn't it?
It is. I mean, I will say out of
how
all
do you, do?
You know, out of all the boy bands,
how
98
bet,
degrees
how,
was my favorite.
How much you bet 98 degrees whoever wrote that song?
I don't know who actually wrote it.
That sounds like Cherish You or whatever.
Yeah, I do.
For the best
cherish
of my
you.
Heart, is beyond my control.
I'm gonna check to see who.
I've waited so long to this to you.
Well, oh, 10% of battery left.
oh, battery died.
God gave me.
But that sounds like 98 Degrees. I understand why people will love that song. People love the chorus, dude, but no one's gonna remember the shit out of that verse. That's what
I do actually know the lyrics, but I don't want to. It's not my position to sing it on the podcast.
What do you mean it's not your position?
Because I'm
is
not
it my position
not
to sing it on the podcast. Is our producer?
Okay, let's see.
Our producer.
Well, his that album that it came from was How Lucky I Am.
I don't even know much about Brian White in general. I just know that you were a big fan of Brian White and probably still are a big fan. What was the
big
appeal
fan
of Brian White?
I think like he had I
what,
actually
what
wasn't
age demographic
like,
was Brian White?
I mean,
White?
He was definitely geared towards younger teenagers. Like he was kind of like I think everybody could enjoy his music, but looking back, like, I have a whole binder full of women. No, not women. Binder full of...
Binder of women.
No, that's that political joke. But whenever I think of binders, I'm like, binders of women.
What?
Because some politician made a joke about... I don't even think it was a joke. It was just talking about binders of women. I don't know what it was. But...
It was binders of women.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out who wrote God Gave Me. Okay.
It was 98 Degrees, man. What year was that? 99? 98 Degrees was in full force in 99, weren't they?
Yeah, I guess so. But you know what? I can't figure out who wrote that song. It's in, probably in the liner
oh,
notes
battery
of my
died.
Album.
Battery died.
It's probably in the liner notes of the album. I could get it if you want me to. But
oh, my phone died.
You know what? Brian White signed my copy of How Lucky I Am. Anyway, so, no, but he was, like, definitely geared towards a younger audience. I feel like anybody that listened to country radio in the 90s will recognize a lot of his hits. Like, he had So Much for Pretending.
His
Rebecca
hits.
Lynn, that was a big hit.
His hits.
No, he had hits, dude. He had hits that were in country radio.
Remember, you told what's her name? Now I forgot her name.
Someone Else's Star was his other hit.
No, what you told, what was the concert went
Which
to
one?
At the synagogue?
Ashley Monroe?
You told Ashley Monroe play the hits, and she's like, I don't got any
hits. And she said she only had like one hit. Which is probably like
what
Miranda,
constitutes
the song that she, like, the song that she co-wrote with Miranda.
What constitutes as a hit?
A hit would probably be like a top 10.
Pay for play on the radio?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you gotta get exposure. That's what I would think would be a hit, but you know.
But I thought it was funny. She's like, I was like, don't have any hits, but we'll keep playing or something like that.
I mean, it is funny, but I say that to, like, you know, like sometimes at a lot of concerts, I say play the hits because I just think it's funny to yell out. Especially if, you know, if they do or don't have hits.
So Brian.
It's just a good thing to say.
So Brian White started when and peaked when, would you say?
Well. I don't want to say he ever peaked because you never know. Like, what if he comes back? You know,
it's so, hard to get back at that moment. At this point,
I mean, he did. Like, I would say, like, when he won the CMA Horizon Award, which now they call Best New Artist.
Yeah,
they retitled it.
Sometimes, but that's the curse, right?
I mean, yeah, it was kind of like I've heard about that. Like, sometimes the people that win like a Best New Artist, they're only hot that year and then they kind of drift away.
See, that's sort of like the feeling I get now, because today I watched a video of Ronda Rousey, like, arriving at LAX, and she was like, I think when I saw the post, people were like, watch this if you want to feel really sad, and then the video was basically, like, I didn't even have sound, but the video was basically, like, Ronda Rousey arriving, getting, like, her bags, but she was, like, all covered up. She had, like, a hoodie, and she was covering her face with a pillow. Like, mm-hmm. She looked really sad and depressed. Like, you can't even, like, you know, imagine.
Is her face, like, messed up from the fight?
I don't, no one saw her. You can't see her face, but you can tell, like, if someone's just completely hiding, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From, like, everybody and all these, like, camera flashes. And
well, how did they
paparazzi.
Know she was going to be there?
Well, her boyfriend and never her entourage, you know, they were there. But then, like, people were saying how, like, you know, they, like, felt bad and sad because now, she, you know, she's in hiding and. You know what I mean? After talking all that trash and then getting defeated, getting knocked out.
I mean, that's what happens in that industry. There's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser.
See, that's the tough bet, man. When it's like, how do you... I don't know. It's such a legit, surprising sport that how do you like really invest in anything? But then again, that's what sports are, the unpredictableness of it. But in a way, when I watched that, I was like, oh, I do feel bad for Ronda at the, because it's literally
no
fully
one wants
covered.
To be put in that position where they lost after talking so much trash.
Not even by decision.
And then it's like, oh, and you lost. So now you have no permission to talk any trash at all.
Yeah.
So now basically she has to keep it on the down low and just be like, I'm coming back.
I mean, would you say that she peaked at this point? Because it's
not necessarily, but I mean, she's not undefeated anymore.
Yeah, but the other person.
See, that's the thing about this whole peak. Like, you can be like, oh, this is the best hit of this person's career. And that's their moment. You know, you could say that, but like, it kind of sucks because like, for example, like there might be a project that I thought I did really well on. And like a design project or illustration or something, like I could be like, oh, this, I did a really good job on it. And then like the next week I could get a different assignment that like will never be that creative. But you know, like that saying is like, you're only as good as your last project or something. Yeah. So it's like, but like in comparison, like there's no way to ever be as creative as something that you previously did. You know, it's just like, I don't like that whole word peak, actually. Like I just maybe like years active or something, like to be like, you know,
years active,
you know, like in Wikipedia where it says like years active, so like you know that they're being productive,
but
like,
when you talk about such like athletic things or you know heightened, you know, it's there are peaks you can still be active. I mean, I'd say that like, you know,
and also nobody can ride that high for that long. Like somebody could have a really good year, but then their next year might not be as good.
I think it's funny because like, you know, like before Ronda Rousey was picking a fight with what's his name? With Floyd Mayweather, you know, and saying like she wants to fight him and blah 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 blah. But there was just one comment that I read of his response when he saw that she got knocked out, and he was like, yeah, you know, I feel really, you know, I feel bad for her, you know, like. To when you get knocked out and stuff like that, that's, you know, that's a horrible feeling. I don't know how that feels, and I don't know how it feels to lose. But like those little things, it's like, I mean that's not a feeling I've ever had before, but like, yeah, that I feel bad for. And he was saying how like people will turn on you real fast because, you know, everyone was for her, but then when she got knocked out, then everyone's doing the, you know, with the shocked face with the meme and all that stuff, and then saying, you know, like how fast people can turn.
Man,
that's a scary situation.
Turn so quick. It's like even today, like, you know, I might be off Facebook for a while, not just because of this incident that I'm about to describe, but I've been talking about getting off it for a while because I don't really have anything like besides this radio show and like curls, which like I don't, you know, I'll promote, but I don't know. I just don't want to like be on Facebook anymore. I guess I don't really have any events until next spring, like I was saying earlier in the news segment, but there's nothing for me to like really go on and like comment on all the time.
But also why let it control your life? Why does Facebook have to be the central point of everybody?
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah. Like I don't,
why does social
enjoy,
media?
I don't enjoy it. Like recently I haven't enjoyed being on Facebook because like, for example, today I actually found out about this on Twitter, but I follow like Red Cross. And so since we do the cartoonist draw blood drive, like every fall, like I follow all the Red Cross's updates and stuff. So today they posted something that I thought was really cool. They were like, for the holidays, give the gift of safety. They're like, take our free CPR classes online. So basically all you have to do is put in your email and then they give you like the whole class, like they give you classes for how to do CPR and other first aid emergencies, which I think is pretty awesome. Cause I've had to pay for CPR classes before when I was taking care of some kids at a day camp. I mean, I don't think that these classes necessarily count as total certification if you need to get certified for a job or something.
Yeah.
But at least it's good that like anybody with an email address can sign up and learn how to do CPR. You know, you never know if you're going to need to do that.
I mean, I feel like people should know how to do that anyway.
I mean, I took classes and I don't even remember. Anyway, so what I thought, I thought it was really cool that they're basically promoting that and offering that up. And so I retweeted it, and then I was like, man, maybe I should put it on Facebook too, because people should know. And then I put it on Facebook, and then some dude, which I don't even know who this dude is, like started like in the comments section talking about the refugees and like gun. He was like, shouldn't we be talking about gun control?
The Fugees? Oh, he's telling you what to talk about.
Yeah.
He's trying to dictate to you how you should speak or how you should post.
Yeah, and also I was posting like very cheerfully. I was just like, you know, I basically reposted what the Red Cross said, and I was just like, instead of, you know, like, give the, or what did I write? Something like, give the gift of, you know, safety this holiday season. Free CPR classes from Red Cross. You know, whatever. Like, I basically, all I did was post that and then post the link to it. I wasn't, like, to me, I'm like, dude, if somebody's, like, getting offended by that, then, like, that's not my problem.
See, that, but that's actually what's so,
But then the first comment is like, oh, we should be talking, like, the, like, this cyber, this, I don't even know what he wrote, but he was like, this refugee was apparently a terrorist and shouldn't, and we shouldn't allow them in. We should be talking about gun control. And in my head, I was like, yes, that is the topic du jour right now on Facebook, but that doesn't mean I have to talk about it.
Well, you know what's really dumb?
I just didn't even write back.
You know what's really great? How people are just like, oh, you should be talking about what I want them to, what I should be talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they're imposing, they're trying to impose their will about the subjects that they should be, you should be doing.
And also, everyone else is already talking about it. Like, what am I, you know what I mean? Like, I probably have a viewpoint on it.
Shouldn't we be talking about this right now? Should we talk about this? You guys, you know what I mean? Sure, we can. You know what I mean? But at the same time, we don't have to.
Yeah, it's like, you don't have to tell me what to talk about.
Yeah, you can do whatever the fuck you want, man.
And also, how does that relate to, like, free CPR classes from Red Cross? That has nothing to do with what I was taught. Like, that had nothing to do with anything. Like,
see, to me, this is really what relates down to all social media in a way. Again, it's just people, instead of cutting in line, it's a version of you know, social media cutting in line. That's what it is. They're just trying to get their voice above everyone else.
Yeah.
Well, because they have their own ego. And when you type something, it's like, well, no one's going to push you out of the way. You could easily delete it. But it's just like, you know what I mean? I'm trying to make sense of it. But social media is such a great way to see where people's their real ideals lie. And it's like they just want to talk. They don't want to listen. They want to talk.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, I feel like, honestly, the most I've ever been away from Facebook, I was off it maybe like a year and a half ago during Lent. And then I took that month during Lent, and then I kept going for like 3 more months. So basically, I was off Facebook for a total of 4 months. That was my record. And I think I might try to outlast that this time, because I don't have any, like, even I would love to, like, post my comic on there and, like, get people to read that, but to me it's not worth it. Like,
well, actually, I feel like it's about,
should I just go in and get out?
I personally feel like it's about time that we find that the world finds a different way of promoting, a different way of getting the word out besides it has to be on these avenues. Because really what's happening is I feel like we've become so dependent on these taking these same roads that no one's opening up new roads anymore. You know what I mean? No
one's
finding new possibilities.
I mean, there's already a lot. There's like Twitter, Facebook,
but it's all
Instagram,
but the thing is, it's all internet-based.
LinkedIn.
It's all internet-based. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sooner or later, if everyone gets so dependent on that, that's such an easy way to get shut down.
But it's easy for
cyber
somebody,
war, man.
It's
that's
easy
what it is.
Though for somebody to click and then they can read your comic.
Sure.
So, how,
but at the same
know,
time, at the same
it's
time,
just a direct route.
Yeah, but I've had the best joy where I've had to search for something. When I've had to look for those Paul Pope illustrations, and couldn't find them anywhere, and I had to hunt for them, and I finally found it. That was a great joy, and like that's.
So maybe
yeah,
I should
easy.
Like hide my I could do a geocache, and then somebody could like put it in like an Easter egg, plastic egg. And then somebody can, like, I'll give the coordinates, and then somebody can open it and read the comic.
I'm just like, saying, I mean, that would be great, too. You could do that.
And then be a one-of-a-kind comic, and then they can find it.
Yeah. Literally, that's what Jack White does. That's what they do with Third Man. They try to
make... But he already has a big exposure.
Yeah, but at the same time, he still has to make those things. I feel like...
Maybe I'll just do some geocaching.
I feel like, why do we got
to
make
like,
it...
if you want to read the comic, you have to geocache.
But why do we got... Yeah, why not? Why not? Screw it. Hey, you want to read this? It's a dollar. Why not? I mean, I just feel like that's...
A lot of people are using the Patreon now.
Like, I personally just feel like this is what the internet has come to. I mean, you're not the first person over the weekend, over the past few days, who I've read saying, like, I'm leaving because of all these people, you know,
speaking
this and that.
I was talking about it before the France thing happened.
No, but I'm not... We're not comparing here, Carolyn. I'm just saying you're not the only person, because I've seen a lot of those people being tired of everyone else talking about all their opinions and stuff like that and saying this and that. Because at the end of the day, everyone always believes that their opinion is the best. I believe my opinion is the best, but I also believe that I'm not right all the time. You know, but there's a lot of people that are really, you know, in a way, everyone's turning into the same exact, like, I don't know, they have like a superiority complex, or they have a, I don't know, everyone's so self-righteous now because they can hide it.
Mm-hmm. No one wants to make peace, dude.
I don't believe that people want to make peace anymore. If they do, that's sort of like a way of just like their facade of peace and just another level of manipulation.
But at least if people are going to write down their, like, because I'm a big proponent of like freedom of speech. So if they have a thought, I don't mind them like writing it on their wall. But freaking, like, don't write on my wall.
Did
like,
comments,
you know what I mean?
Comments make... I can easily tell that someone's comments is really just them bragging or trying to show off. And because that's literally what they do. When they're just talking about themselves, when they're not actually joining the conversation as opposed to just talking about themselves, they don't give a fuck.
Well, Bookface is brag book.
That's all it is.
So...
You know, it is
I'm
it
really,
is what it
I'm
is.
Really just... Actually, but the thing is apparently... Whenever I do, rarely check the analytics, because with my Kickstarter and, you know, overall, I do very well with Facebook. So I guess that's a positive, but it's just, I just don't like being on there. And with Twitter, I feel like things are going by so quick that it gets lost in the feed if you're not looking at that very instant. It's really easy to like be like, oh guys, I have big news, and then you post it and then it just gets washed away.
It's like trying to catch
sand in the
beach. Trying to catch a fish during like whitewater rapids or something like that. It's just gonna fly through and you're like, okay, there it goes. I guess I was supposed to catch that. But
so, you know, who the heck's were even looking anyway? So I mean, I'm pretty much
but
over
see that's
it,
but that's the
but
joy of what you brought back.
Certain things I enjoy.
But that's the genius of, like, you're talking about Brian White, how years ago make something and then, you know, 15 later, then it gets discovered and gets huge. It's like, keep making something. Keep on putting out a good message out there. You know, it's got, you know, love and stuff like that. All the positive stuff or anything. I mean, who knows how we'll get discovered further down the line.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because...
Just make it. You're not hurting
you
anybody.
You know, for a long time, too, I was like, really, you know, for Brian White, I was like, man, I like hope something good happens for him. Because, like, you know... He hasn't really been in the spotlight as much as other people have, so I was just like, man, I hope, like, something good happens. And then, like, seriously, like, a month later, he has this big Filipino thing, and, like, I hope his concert goes really well on December 1st. But it is true, like, I like how you circled that back, because, you know, you can create something and you think no one's looking, but I think people are looking, but they're just not necessarily saying immediately. Because I'm one of those people that I might read something and really like something, but I don't necessarily comment. Because to me, there's like nothing really, you know, just to be like, oh, I like this, you know, or I'll tell somebody in person and be like, I really like that. Because I'd rather tell somebody in person. I'm not like a commenter on internet. I will comment on the radio show here. I will comment in person, but I'm not that big of a internet commenter.
Because you know what? It's what's really crappy about it now. Maybe it's always been crappy. It's like, yeah, you can do comments. Everyone can hear your voice. But then again, it's like, it's not the same as speaking it to you live, like how we record this live. We don't edit or anything like that. We just put it out. This is what it is. We're speaking our minds, you know, just a freaking free flow out there. But see, online, you can edit it. You can change it. So even though if they do comment on it, and they can still go back and change it. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
But
like,
it's
oh,
still there somewhere.
It's still there somewhere, but the
everything
same...
Everything you post.
But still there somewhere, but then they can add on to it, or they can delete it. So it's just like they're modifying the opinion that they're putting out there. So it's like not even... It's hard to believe if it's actually true or not. You know what I mean? And also, it really is sort of scumbag of someone to tell you, like, we should really be talking about this. You know what I mean? This is the venue. Then, like, really, at the end of the day, you know, it's like... You know, like, but you're not choosing your venue. The venue that you're choosing is not made to speak what he's talking about. You chose this venue to talk about something else, but then he's butting in on that. That's someone else. Like, that's literally like someone else. If you're having a conversation with someone about like cereal, right? Cereal. Hey, I love how cereal. Why are you talking about? Then someone else comes in. Why are you talking about cereal? We need to talk about this other person right here. It's like, dude, we're having a conversation and you weren't included. You know, why do we got to be talking about what you like? You go ahead and go talk about that. You know, you go ahead and do that, but we're okay over here being just fine.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just talking about CPR. Like,
for as long as, we, as like, long as you know, like, you're as long as we know you're like, just, you know what I mean? It's like you were just
talking about being healthy. That's it.
You logically could have just been talking to yourself, right? Talking to yourself, having a good old time. Then someone else is like, no, you should be thinking this. He's telling you how to think.
Yeah, I don't like it. And so, like, I mean, that's not the main reason why I'm probably going to get off it.
No,
for
but
a while,
like people like that sort of like, and I wonder
it
if
just
I'm
confirmed,
like that.
It just confirmed it though.
Well, it
like
it,
I was just like, yep, going to get off this. I'm going to be gone for a few months. So if anybody sends me a message on Facebook, I'm probably not going to read it for a while. So
unless you have Facebook Messenger, then you don't have to go actually into Facebook.
Really? Okay. Well, I don't even have the Facebook app on my phone. I just don't want to deal with it. And, you know, there's other ways to reach me. Trust me.
And here's the thing. It's like, even at this very moment, we could be talking about a million things that people think that are more important. You know what I mean? We could be talking about someone could say, like, why aren't you talking about the newest fashion? Why aren't you talking about this celebrity? Why aren't you talking about all this and that? Because you know what? We choose to talk about things right now that are off the top of our head.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not on the top of our head.
And maybe,
maybe we don't really feel like talking about it because maybe those subjects are for another time and we choose to get down with something else. We choose to dance to a different song right now, you know? At this very moment, why do we always got to be talking about what everyone else is talking about?
Well, sometimes I wonder as an artist that, you know, there's all these problems in the world, especially recently, and all this talk of terrorism again, and, you know, it comes in cycles, but now it's back full force, especially, you know, we're in the Washington, D.C. area, so of course, you know, we're going to hear it even more. But I wonder, like, you know, I can be sitting there drawing some nonsensical thing, and, you know, I'm like, man, there's real problems in the world. Like, you know, I could be helping the homeless, or I could be, I'm actually volunteering at a shelter on Friday. So, but like, you know, I could be doing something in a good way. And, you know, who cares about, like, if I'm sitting here drawing a cartoon? Yeah, I've thought about that a lot. And I've actually struggled with that because I feel like, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, maybe my energy, I should be doing, you know, some more charity work. But then I stand back and I'm like, I do a lot of charity work. So, like, you know, like, it's a struggle I have, though, because I'm like, who cares about this cartoon? Like, there's people out there dying. So it's like, in my head, I'm like, the cartoon matters a lot for me. But then I'm like, in the real world, people have bigger problems.
Yeah, but see.
But I need to create just, like, that's something I need to do as my DNA.
I feel like there's a certain point, too, where, you know, you're given sort of, maybe without you knowing, or maybe with, you know, maybe the grand scheme of things, you're given a certain path. You know what I mean? You're given a certain gifts, and it would be wrong to not fully utilize those gifts.
Yeah, but I also could be spending my time like, I don't know, like, or like organizing something for people that have problems, you know, like somebody might need toiletries or something,
tell that to the certain people that just spend their day looking at watching sports. Tell that to the same person that you know would rather just sit on his ass and just watch TV all day. Tell that to the person that doesn't want to pursue things, you know, they have things that they can pursue but they don't want to. Tell that to people who are wasting time.
I mean, because there's a lot of good organizations out there for people that they might have lost their jobs, or they're like on the brink of being on homelessness. Like, there's places where you can get like gently used suits and dresses, you know, and go on interviews, or, you know, you could do a mock interview of somebody to make sure that they're ready to get a job. You know, like there's a lot of good programs out there that people could volunteer for, or like soup kitchens. Like, there's so much that people could help, but a lot of people don't. And then part of me is like, I'm just sitting around like drawing a comic. Who cares? You know, like, I've thought about that several times, especially recently. But I don't know. You just kind of have to get over that and, like, create. Because, I mean, like, I get, you know, people have, like, save the world complex. So I've heard of that before. Like, you feel like you have to save everything. But, like, I feel like even no matter how hard people try, there's still going to be bad things going on in the world.
I mean, no matter what, I mean, personally, I feel like that's what the equinox is. You know, we have good stuff and we have bad stuff. We're always going to have that. We are always going to have up and down. We're always going to have the light and dark. We're always, those things are always going to exist, or else we're actually going to have complete universal turmoil.
And this hasn't happened with
gravity,
me.
Right?
You know, not to like dismiss cartoons, but you know, you could easily, okay, for example, even this week, I tweeted about this. There was a online ad for Mount Vernon, which is George Washington's historical home in Virginia. And it said something like, I can't remember the exact copywriting, but it said something like, cartoons never made people influenced, or something. You know, it was some, but it was just like, cartoons never, like, I forget exactly what it said, but then it said, like, come to Mount Vernon, you know, you'll be enthusiastic about stuff. You know, basically they're saying, like, cartoons make people lazy. If you're just sitting around watching cartoons, come to Mount Vernon and actually experience something. You know?
Yeah.
Or basically said, like, cartoons never changed anyone's life or something like that. And then I was like, sorry, Mount Vernon, I have to disagree with you. Because, like, I enjoyed watching cartoons. You know? I still do.
Well, you know what?
But they were basically attacking cartoons in their advertising campaign.
Well, essentially...
Let me try to find what they actually wrote.
Essentially, think about this. You have water and you have a rock. The water is going to continuously, if it's in a river, it's going to continuously go over the rock. What a rock used to be rugged and used to be sharp with edges, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, when the water was rolling over it, had no effect, was doing no influence. But throughout time, in longer amounts of time, and more water, sooner or later, that rock is going to get smooth. That rock is going to get more smoothened out by the water over time. That's what happens. That's what influence is.
Yeah.
It's no matter what people can say to not, it's not going to influence. It's not going to change. But you know what? When you're surrounded by it and you're constantly being engulfed by it, you're going to get smoothened over sooner or later.
Yeah. So the ad actually says, memories aren't made watching cartoons. Plan your visit. George Washington's Mount Vernon. So they're basically attacking cartoons. Memories aren't made watching cartoons, which I get. You know,
maybe the stupid part is they shouldn't have used cartoons. They should have just said memories aren't made sitting on your ass.
Yeah, but they probably didn't want to have sitting on your ass. But
you know what? You do have memories. Yeah. I do have memories.
I do have great memories watching Bugs Bunny and sitting around watching that. And I wasn't just sitting on my ass like a slug. I was actually like entertained, like my brain was active. You know?
They just had a poor choice of words.
Yeah, they just had bad copywriting.
From also a person that's not in touch with contemporary times. And which is perfectly fine because it shows that
they could have just put their age. Memories aren't made watching TV. But yeah, maybe that's even worse. I don't know.
How about memories aren't made just sitting on your couch doing anywhere? But the thing is it just shows their age. Because you know what? At the end of the day, you know, watching cartoons, what did you say? Watching on TV? Watching on your phone?
It just says watching cartoons. It's attack on cartoons, the word cartoon. It makes it sound like it's like wasting your time.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying, that there is a population. I don't know what the percentage is. I haven't done a study on it. But I'm a firm believer that there is a population out there that thinks cartoons is a waste of time.
Yeah. And that's an older generation that wasn't brought up on the cool stuff. Where the people are still thinking comic books are like for kids. That's that whole entire thing.
And
so
on top of it, you know, I think it is not a waste of time. Although, you know, like doctors are out there saving lives and stuff like that. But taking
lots of money from people.
But cartoons.
And curing nothing.
Cartoons. Some of them actually do major work.
They're called scientists.
But cartoons are amazing because this hasn't happened to me directly as a cartoonist. But I know of a couple cartoonists that have received mail from their audience who say that it saved their life. Like, they were, like, gonna commit suicide that day. And they actually read a cartoon and actually chuckled, and it made them realize, like, oh, I like life. And then they ended up not killing themselves. Like, they had plans to be like, oh, today's the day, I'm gonna kill myself. And then, like, they read these cartoons, and then they were like, oh my gosh, this is great. I need to see what else they're going to make. You know, like, I can't kill myself, you know? Like, so I think that that's pretty awesome that, like, there are moments where, like, people were affected by cartoons. It might not seem like that on the surface, but people are still living today because they enjoy cartoons.
Yeah, like, public morale. You know what I mean? That's...
People need to be happy.
People need...
People need laughter.
People need
people
something.
Need fun.
You know? And that's really what it is. That's why it's important. We can't all just be doing math if we don't want to do math. You know what I mean? We need a break. Breaks are just as important. You need a good break, and you need to work hard and get a good break. Work before play. Equinox.
It's just very interesting, though, because as an artist, it's easy to, like, look at the world and be like, why am I just sitting here creating? I could be helping people. But in reality, you are helping people.
Yeah. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but maybe today and tomorrow. You never really know. That's the thing. If you don't know what's going to happen in the future, you might as well take every second to be the best person you can, or be the most honest person you can.
Like, did Brian White know 16 years ago when he made this God Gave Me You song that he'd be going to the Philippines in, like, the year 2015?
Of course.
Because people were, like, obsessed with the song.
He was like, in a couple years, people are going to get it. They're going to get it. It's going to cross over then. It's going to cross over the ocean
then. It's just so perfect, though, because it's like, they're obsessed. It's like a perfect karaoke song. Like, there's the religion aspect and, like, God Gave Me You and, like, loving and the romantic and, like, that type of song. It's, like, perfect for the Philippines.
Yeah, that shit definitely was a 90s ballad. I can boy ballad style. I'm surprised that that a boy band hasn't gone and did a cover of that song. Maybe they did.
Well, you know that there was...
Maybe that's how it started.
Do you remember that John Michael Montgomery song, I Swear?
Yeah.
Well, that was for All for One.
Yeah, see? That's what had to happen if they crossed that over.
So I feel like there could be a total connection with, like, country invading the Philippines. I'll plan that tour.
Go for it. That'd be great.
I'll be like, country invades the Philippines.
Yeah. Bring the country to the island.
Yes. And then Kenny Chesney could be there because he's, like, all about, like, that island lifestyle now.
Yeah, see?
He's basically, like, the country version of, like, Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett.
We're bringing the country to the islands. Romantic, heartfelt.
For everyone. Hashtag
totally
GDMY.
Totally sounds like 98 Degrees.
I will say that was the only boy band that I really liked. And I like Boys to Men, too, but I don't really consider them a boy band, even though they probably are.
It's just a boy group.
Boy group.
I don't know.
Well, see, like, what's up with Boys to Men?
A band. They're a band.
I haven't heard anything
about
them.
It's tough keeping a band together. It's not easy. Everyone has their own objectives.
They did perform at Birchmere a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Another show. Another day.
Another dollar.
Another dollar. Keeping it going. Keeping it tight, like they say. This show is brought to you by Straight Productions. Check them out at straightproductions.com. Also, check out my new website at joecarabeo.com. Celebrate my birthday or day later, or wherever you want to do it. Go to stray.tumblr.com, up-to-date news, and, of course, Mr. Bandit, SoundCloud, Mr. Dash Bandit. What do you got, Carolyn?
Oh, I have a website. It's carolynbolesky.com, and my comic strip is called Curls. You can read it at curls-studio.com/curls. I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, at carolynbolesky.
Excellent! iTunes, Stitcher Radio, carolynjoeshow.com. Tell them, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.
See you later.